want to continue the discussion about intervals. Now, a quick review of what we've talked about already. We have intervals of seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths, sixths, sevenths, octaves, and even beyond. We'll talk about that later. If the interval is and of course you have two notes that might be the same, that's called a unison. But if you have an interval of a second or a third, or a sixth or a seventh, those intervals are often referred to as major or minor. Those are the most common, what we call interval prefix, or the quality of the interval. If the interval is a fourth or a fifth or an octave, it's called perfect, or if it's changed from the actual size of a perfect interval, then it might be diminished or augmented. But on the intervals of fourth and fifth, we don't use the term major or minor. We do on seconds, thirds, sixths, and sevenths. And on those intervals, seconds, thirds, sixths, and sevenths, we don't use the interval of the name perfect. So just a little bit of review about the names we use. We're talking about the scale C major as a reference. And the intervals in that scale, from the first note to the second note, is a major second. From the first note to the third note is a major third. And it's four half steps to get to a major third. Obviously, just two half steps to get to the major second, which is a whole step in the scale. From the first note to the fourth note is five half steps. That's a perfect fourth. From the first note to the fifth note is a perfect fifth. That's seven half steps, perfect fifth. From the first note to the sixth note was nine half steps, and it's a major sixth interval. From the first note to the seventh note, which is, as an interval name, a major seventh, 11 half steps, and then the 12 half steps from the first note to the octave, perfect octave. Now, when we made a major interval smaller by one half step, either by lowering the upper note, this is a major third to begin with, but this would be true of seconds, sixths, and sevenths. When it's a major to begin with and you lower the upper note by one half step, it becomes a minor interval. If you were to do the same interval to start with and raise the bottom note, but keep same letter names like C to C sharp in this case, then it still goes from a major third to a minor third. It's a minor interval. Majors made smaller become minor. If it was a perfect interval to begin with, like a perfect fourth, and made larger, it's augmented. If it was a perfect interval to begin with, like a perfect fifth, and made smaller by a half step, it becomes diminished. And the diminished term can be applied to a minor interval too, when it's made smaller. If you had a major third, first, then a minor third, second, and then lowered it again by raising the bottom note in this case. And if we still were using C and E letter names, then we would have a diminished third interval. Kind of rare, but on some rare occasions in music theory, we would talk about that. What I want to do now is talk about the intervals you find within a scale. Here's the major scale again. If you play that note and another note a certain interval away, but stay within the context of that original scale, you'll have, if we make that interval a second, we're going to play the C and then the next note a second away. Between the first two notes of a major scale, we already know, is a major second. Well, if you go up the scale and keep the same one scale tone offset, the second to third note is still a major second. It's an interval of a second, and it's two half steps. So it is, by definition, a major second. Now, when you get to the third note and you go up one scale degree and play it along with the fourth note, that interval we knew in the scale was a half step, and you play it together, that's a minor second. So in a major scale, you do have a minor second interval if you play both the third and fourth note together. It's a minor second. We play the fourth note, along with the fifth note, then that's a major second interval, F with G. If you play a G, which is the fifth note, along with the sixth note, that's another major second interval. And if you play the sixth along with the seventh. That's another major second interval. And if you play the seventh along with the octave, that's a minor second interval. So the minor second interval is a little more dissonant than the major second. Those are all the seconds that occur in a major scale from adjacent scale tones. Notice that was just the major second, mostly, and then a couple of places where we had minor seconds. There weren't any augmented seconds, although in theory things like that can exist, and there weren't any diminished seconds, although I suppose in theory that might exist, not in my world. So let's examine the thirds that exist in the major scale. From the first note to the third note is by definition a major third. If you take those two notes and just run them both up the scale, stay in the key of C major, the second note and fourth note together make a minor third. The third and fifth note together make another minor third. The fourth note and the sixth note together make a major third. The fifth note and the seventh note together make a major third. The sixth note and the octave make for a minor third. The seventh note up to the second note in the next octave make for another minor third. And finally, the octave note up to the major third in the next octave. So a little faster, that's a major third at the end. So we had a major third, a minor third, another minor third, major third, another major third, minor third, minor third, and major third. So within the thirds, major and minor were the typical tones. In theory, you might have something like a diminished third, but not within the major scale. Let's listen to the fourths. Here's the first note up to the fourth note of a major scale. And if we run both of those tones up the scale, stay in C major, we'll have mostly perfect fourths, but we'll have one augmented fourth. So we have root up to the fourth of the major scale. If we take them both up, that's a perfect fourth. From the second to the fifth note, another perfect fourth. From the third note up to the sixth note, that's a perfect fourth. From the fourth note up to the seventh note, that's an augmented fourth, sometimes called a tritone. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then from the fifth note up to the octave, that's a perfect fourth. From the sixth note up to the second in the next scale, our next octave, that's another perfect fourth. From the seventh note up to the third in the second octave, that's another perfect fourth. And then from the octave note up to the fourth in the upper octave, a perfect fourth. Now, before I run through the whole thing, I want to mention I call this sound F up to B a tritone, and it's an augmented fourth is in this context. Sometimes that same sound is written differently as a diminished fifth, and it has another general name as a tritone because it's three whole tones in distance, six half steps. Most of these fourths were five half steps, which is the perfect fourth interval size. Let's go back to the whole thing, starting from the first note to the fourth note and running it up. Perfect fourth, perfect fourth, perfect fourth, augmented fourth, perfect fourth, perfect fourth, perfect fourth, and perfect fourth. From the first tone up to the fourth tone of a major scale. So in the first note up to the fifth interval of a perfect fifth, we're going to have, as we run both those tones up to scale, mostly perfect fifths, but one spot will have a diminished fifth. So we have a perfect fifth between the first and the fifth note, a perfect fifth between the second and the sixth note, a perfect fifth between the third note up to the seventh note, a perfect fifth between the fourth note up to the octave, a perfect fifth between the fifth note up to the second in the next octave, a perfect fifth between the sixth note up to the third note in the next octave, a diminished fifth from the seventh note up to the fourth note in the second octave, and finally a perfect fifth between the first note and the fifth note of the second octave. So let's go through that again. The fifths, perfect fifth, perfect fifth, perfect fifth, perfect fifth, perfect fifth, perfect fifth, diminished fifth, perfect fifth at the end. So only one diminished fifth, and that occurred between the seventh note and up to this fourth of the second octave. Turned out to be the same different tones, B and F in this key, that we had an augmented fourth. When it was augmented fourth, the F was the lower note going up to B, and in this case, B was the lower note going up to an F, depending on how it was written on the page as to whether you would call that sound an augmented fourth or a diminished fifth. All right, let's try the interval of a sixth. From the first note up to the sixth note of a major scale is a major sixth, and if we run both of those tones up the C major scale, we'll have these sounds. A major sixth, another major sixth, a minor sixth, major sixth, major sixth, minor sixth, minor sixth, and a major sixth. Sixth is a real nice sound. And the interval of a seventh, from the first note up to the seventh note of a major scale, we keep both of those tones within the C major scale. We'll start off with a major seventh, considered a dissonant. All these are considered dissonant intervals, but the major seventh especially. So we have a major seventh, a minor seventh, a minor seventh, a major seventh, a minor seventh, a minor seventh, a minor seventh, a major seventh. Once again, the C major scale using the interval of a seventh. First note up to the seventh note, major seventh. And it is different to major sevenths and minor sevenths intervals. Sounds like this. Major seven, minor seven, minor seven, major seven, minor seven, minor seven, minor seven, major seven. And of course the octave, perfect octave, and you just would have the same notes in both octaves as it goes up. All of those are perfect octaves. Now I want to talk about interval inversion now. Each of these intervals that we had, for instance, a third, can be inverted in that we take the lower note, in this case a C, and we move it up an octave so it becomes the higher note, and the E remains where it was originally. So this interval of a third, C up to E, when inverted becomes E up to C. Now it's a sixth. And notice that the number 3 and 6 add up to 9. You can use a little equation to figure out the interval size of an inverted interval. It'll always be 9 minus whatever interval you started with. For instance, 9 minus 3 will turn into a sixth. Something interesting happens with the interval prefix, or that interval quality, major, minor. If it was a major to begin with, when you invert it, it becomes a minor. So a major third, when inverted, that is putting the C, which was the lower tone, up an octave, so that is now the upper tone, that becomes a minor sixth. Major third, minor sixth. Now if we started with a different set of notes, like a D up to F, which is a minor third to begin with, and when we invert that, take the D up an octave, it becomes a major sixth. Minor thirds, when inverted, become major sixth. So the number you get by taking the number 9 minus the interval that you're dealing with, and that will come up with your inverted interval, and the prefix, if it was major, it'll become minor, and vice versa, if it was originally minor, it becomes major when you invert it. That's true when you're talking about all of the intervals that might be major and minor. Seconds, if you took a major second, like the interval from a D to an E, which is a major second. When you invert that, take the D and put it an octave higher, what was a major second becomes a minor seventh. 9 minus 2 becomes 7, and the major interval becomes minor when you invert it. So a major sixth, like a C up to an A, when you invert that and you put the C above the A, that major sixth became a minor third. Or if you were to take the interval C up to B, which is a major seventh, and if I were to invert that interval by taking the C and putting it up an octave from C to C, and kept the B where it was, that major seventh became a minor second. 9 minus 7 becomes 2. The major became minor. Notice that the consonants or dissonances of the intervals don't really change when you invert them. If you take the sixth interval and play it, and then you invert that interval, whole set, it's still consonant. If you take an interval such as a dissonant interval like a major seventh and invert it, it's still pretty dissonant. So if it's dissonant to begin with, when you flip it upside down, it's still going to be dissonant. Now let's talk about the perfect intervals and the inversion of those. If you have a root of a scale up to the fifth note of that major scale, that's a perfect fifth. Now, if that, in this case, we're in the key of C, so we're talking C up to G. If you take the C, jump it up an octave, now we've inverted that interval. The same 9 minus the interval you're dealing with will come up with the interval numbers. So 9 minus 5, and we end up with a fourth. But the difference here is when a perfect interval is inverted, it remains perfect. So the perfect fifth interval, when you flipped it upside down, became a perfect fourth. Now notice, if we were to take a different set of tones, let's say we took the note F up to B. Now when you measure that interval, it's an augmented fourth. F up to B. Now, since it's not a perfect interval, if we were to invert that, it'll change names. If we take the F and move it up an octave, from this F up an octave, keep the B where it was, now when it's written on the page, it was a fourth, it becomes a fifth. 9 minus 4 equals 5. It was an augmented fourth to begin with. Now, any augmented interval when inverted becomes diminished, and vice versa. If we started with a diminished interval to begin with and inverted that, it would have become augmented. So the 9 minus whatever interval you're dealing with will give you the new inverted interval size number, and then you'll add the interval quality, major, minor, augmented, diminished, perfect, whatever it happens to be, according to this following rule. If it's major, it becomes minor, and vice versa. If it's perfect, when you invert it, it remains perfect. And if it was augmented, it becomes diminished, and vice versa. And let's finish off this discussion with intervals by talking about compound intervals that are intervals wider than an octave. So if we go up the major scale, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and we're to continue, in some discussions, we simply talk about this next octave as being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But when we're starting to build complicated chords, we'll take every other tone of a scale, and it's useful in that context to talk about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 to get to two octaves. Now, we won't really use the term 15 very much, but we will go up to 13. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 is useful because as we start to study chords, we'll take the first note, the third note, the fifth note, the seventh note, that's every other tone, and in the next octave, it'll be the ninth, 11th, and 13th by continuing that every other note scheme. So now we can talk about intervals of ninths or tenths. Tenth is an octave plus a third. Really nice sound on the guitar. In fact, the Beatles song Blackbird has the interval of tenth in it all over the place. So tenths and 11th. And then the 12th, which is an octave plus a fifth, and 13th, which is like an octave plus a sixth. Going back to the 11th, that's like an octave plus a fourth. There's the octave, and then a fourth above that. So when we get to chords, it'll be useful to talk about this tone as being sometimes a fourth and sometimes an 11th. And this tone here is being a ninth, and not just the second scale degree. So, you may have heard of ninth chords. There's a C9, very commonly used in jazz and the blues. So, we'll talk about those things later, but at least the terminology is out there.